The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.
Josumu, top of the key, driving. The Big Ten Tournament Champion.
Frazier steps into the shot and knocks it down.
Chris Murray, three ball, no! Tipped around, that is it! Illinois shares the Big Ten title!
Welcome into the Armchair Illini Podcast. We're going to be talking about a busy weekend in Illini sports. Obviously, big basketball weekend, finally playing some real competition after, a few games of not so great competition. And Alex and I will kind of get into what the first few games have looked like and who's kind of stood out for good reasons and who stood out for maybe some not so good reasons. I mean, they've been winning by 40, so it's hard to nitpick, but, and we'll also talk about the football game that's happening this weekend, playing Michigan. After two just absolutely disappointing games against Michigan State and Purdue, we'll get that out of the way first, so we can talk about basketball, which is a bit more exciting at the moment. Alex, it's always good to have you on, man. How you been,
dude? I've been good. Actually, I was at the Michigan State game.
You were?
I was. Yeah. So we'll get into that in a little bit, but I think first things first before we get started. Definitely a couple things wanted to address. Just one, the University of Virginia, the shootings that happened. I know we could play a University of Virginia basketball this week, but the things that happened with the football team was really, really, really sad. So just wanted to say condolences to everyone involved there. But also the news came out that Brett Bielema's mother passed away today. So definitely deepest condolences to the Bielema family. Brett's a great dude, so, wish him and his family all the best. But in terms of being at the game against Michigan State, that was a dud. I think the Purdue game, it sucked because obviously you kind of confirmed your fate, but, it wasn't as surprising as the Michigan State game because you had all the confidence in the world. You're playing really, really well. Michigan State had their suspensions. When we were previewing it, they're kind of in a bit of a rut. So, to lose the way that you did in a pretty packed house, I've been in Memorial Stadium quite a amount of times, especially as a student. Obviously, when Beckman was there, the attendance was garbage, but it was a very good crowd. The student section was a little bit sparse because of Dad's weekend, but that was arguably the biggest crowd that I've ever seen at Memorial Stadium. And to just go out that way was just very, very, very disappointing. You had Hugh Robertson kicking punts off of people's butts and, just poor play altogether. And then last week was kind of just injuries kind of piling up. And now, you're kind of shorthanded going into Michigan. So wanted to bring on Ant. Let's get this football crap out of the way, to be quite honest with you. Ant, how's it going, man?
What's going on? It should be a good game.
You think?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. So, Michigan's looking great, obviously, great season. They're definitely looking forward to, playing Ohio State and then possibly, they're in contention for the college football playoffs. And Jim Harbaugh has this thing running. So I really wanted to ask you, because the COVID year stunk for Michigan. It was a very rough year. You hear all these things about, You know, Harbaugh's been great at Michigan, but he can't get over the hump. Ohio State's, you know, the biggest rival, all of that. But ever since then, ever since all that really heated up, you know, I think he's won 15 Big Ten games, you know, losses to pretty much only Georgia and Michigan State. What do you think has kind of been the switch that's been kind of flipped, you know, ever since that COVID year?
I mean, like, so, like, he's been good ever since he got there. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's been good ever since he got there. You know, you've had, like, this is going to be the fourth season. This is going to be the fourth season that that is going to come down to the game with Ohio State as who comes out of the Big Ten East. So in 2016, that was the deal. In 2018, that was the deal. Last year, that was the deal, and that's going to be the deal again this year. And I think because Ohio State has been the best it's ever been, it kind of overshadows how good he's been. Give me one second. Walker,
what's up, Walker?
Walker, can you close the door? Walker's yelling at me right now. I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. So he's been good ever since he's been there. In the COVID year, in my opinion, I just don't think he's someone who's very good with change, and I think he's someone who needs to. Like that year was nuts because you didn't know what they were going to be from one week to another. Like, where are they going to play? Are there going to be guys out? Or we got these tests. Like, everything was really, really new, right? And, like, when someone is so organized and, like, meticulous like him, I don't think he does well with rapid change and when he's not in control of the situation. So I could see him struggling in a year like the pandemic year. And then as you've seen in the last, season and a half now, I mean, you kind of see him kind of back to where he's kind of been. But the only difference is, you know, you beat Ohio State, and now you see once you beat Ohio State, you have access to more opportunities, and that's going to be winning a Big Ten championship and then going from there to competing for a national title in the CFP.
Yeah, definitely. So I think one of the things that has really stood out about kind of watching Michigan this week and even the whole season, it's kind of similar to how Illinois' offense has been, but the running attack, you know, Michigan has the number one rushing attack in the Big Ten by quite a large margin. You know, Blake Corum's been amazing. And then you have literally a five-star backup in Donovan Edwards. How good has that duo been? And, you know, how big do you think that'll be in Michigan's quest to beat Ohio State once again?
I mean, it's going to be huge. I mean, you have an offensive line that has done a really nice job all year. And people were like, well, they kind of struggled to open up, but they were dealing with a ton of injuries. So getting their starting group back and getting guys a lot of reps has helped out a lot. And being able to use Donovan Edwards in multiple ways, not just being a runner, but also being a back who can catch the ball and a back who can do a lot of other things as well when it comes to trick plays, right? And then another underrated aspect of the run game has been J.J. McCarthy, the way that he's been able to use his legs at times and been able to scramble and, you know, get a first down or get a few extra yards for a more manageable second or third down. But it's been like a real team effort, real good blocking and being able to, you know, do that with having running backs in Corum and a running back in Edwards, and then being able to counter that with JJ, which, like, I won't be surprised if that happens during the game where you see more, you know, JJ having like more QB draws and being able to go against the zone read a lot more, and just being able to really show everything in his package, because I think there's still vanilla with JJ's run packages, but I think they're going to save that up for the Ohio State game.
And really appreciate you coming on. We also got Blue by 90 up here, another awesome Michigan.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up? So Illinois is coming into this game, limping pretty bad. Injuries have kind of caught up to them, but they're also just not playing very well anymore. So I would say for most Illinois fans, a few weeks ago, this Michigan game was kind of seen as like, you know, oh, we could have the Big Ten West clinched by then, and it could just be kind of playing with house money, and Michigan might overlook Illinois because they got Ohio State the next week, and felt like a game that Illinois could potentially, you know, play spoiler a little bit. But I don't know how many Illinois fans are feeling that anymore, just with the way the last couple of weeks have gone. So from a Michigan standpoint, is there anything about Illinois still right now that gives you any pause that this weekend might not go how you hope it will?
I think for me, it's the defense. I still think they've got a pretty dang good defense. I mean, everyone talks about Michigan's schedule, which that's a whole nother conversation. But I think that in terms of the defenses that Michigan has gone against this year, you know, you look at Penn State, they were a top secondary, but like their rush defense, their front defense is not their strength. Michigan, you go back to the Iowa game, that's probably the best defense that they've played. So I think, you know, honestly, what I would say, like, it's definitely no like tune-up game for sure. I think it's more of like, hey, this is a great defense that Michigan has to go up against, especially against the run. And I'm curious to see, like, all right, when everybody in the world knows you're going to run it, can you still do it? And so that's where I think, like, it'll be a true test, because that very well may be the scenario next weekend against Ohio State too. If it's the same type of weather, and, you know, JJ is, or I guess if we just don't want to pass, or you can't pass, or it's not working, whatever, can you still run the ball when they stack the box with eight guys? And last year, Michigan was able to do it, and it didn't matter. So that's what I would be curious about to see on Saturday, is when Illinois loads the box, what does Michigan do? Can they still run the ball, or do they, even with the conditions, try to throw it, and can they do that too?
Yeah, definitely. I think, when everyone – it's kind of how when everyone's focused on Chase Brown, can Chase Brown run it? But I wanted to see if, like, does Michigan have any specific weakness that you feel like, you know, they need to show that they're better at against Illinois, that they'll definitely need to show against Ohio State? I know you kind of said what happens when a team stacks the box, but is there anything else that you're kind of keyed in on to see that if they do better, you know, before the Ohio State matchup?
I think the one thing that I want to see personally is – and this is going to be tough, obviously, with the weather looking the way it's going to go, is, you know, I want to see JJ hit the throws that he knows he can make but hasn't made in a while. And it's not just on JJ, that's for sure. He has not gotten help from his receivers in a lot of scenarios too. So I think it's more like, can the offense get in a big rhythm here with throwing the ball? Even if it doesn't have to be deep balls. I know everyone wants it to, like, see Michigan hit the deep ball, but I think that if they can just get in a rhythm of, like, some short to mid routes and get that working, like, that's what I think most Michigan fans want to see, and myself, I'm in that scenario.
Well, I think J.J. McCarthy will have an opportunity to throw. I mean, I know the conditions are bad, but Illinois is really, really banged up at corner right now. I mean, Witherspoon's healthy, but outside of that, it's It's real rough. I mean, Illinois had to play their fifth, sixth string corners consistently. Purdue picked on them pretty heavily last week, and Michigan State kind of did something similar. So that is on the defensive side. I do worry Illinois' depth or lack thereof has really come to the surface in the last 2 weeks on the defensive side of things. And honestly, like, defensive line, Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph, like, they're getting pushed back to the second level pretty consistently the last couple weeks. And so I've been surprised at how, you know, mediocre at best offensive lines have been pushing us around the last couple weeks after we, you know, Illinois dominated defensively up until that point. So I do worry that, you know, whether it's fatigue, depth, whatever, that this defense may have hit a wall of some sort. And I'm interested to see how they come out, you know, in pretty bad conditions, knowing what Michigan's going to want to do in running the football. But I do think Michigan might have a pretty big advantage considering how banged up Illinois is at corner.
What do you think? Obviously, the strength has been running the ball all year, but, you know, I don't think we know what Chase Brown is going to be like on Saturday. So, you know, how do you feel? This defense obviously has played really well lately, and that D-line specifically against the run. You know, do you feel that that's still, like, is that the game plan to just still try and go ahead and run the
ball? Honestly, I mean, to be fair, I think Zach could attest to this, but we probably shouldn't run it as much, but we will, because that's all we know how to freaking do. We've Zone done so many, literally the same exact play, just spammed. And Chase has had to carry the ball like 30 plus times every game. You can kind of hear the beaten downness in my voice, but, and then even to kind of add injury to insult, you know, Chase got hurt on the last play, you know, one of the last plays in the last game. So he's not 100% for sure. Our second string, you know, who is supposed to be really good as well, Josh McCray, has dealt with injuries all year. He like had an ankle injury first game, was out like 6 to 7 weeks, came back against Michigan State, tried to get his legs under him, and then a horse collar happened, and then he, you know, injured his other ankle. So things haven't been looking that well. I think Tommy DeVito has been good for what he's been, but the offensive creativity has not been there, especially the last 2 weeks, and me and Zach have kind of dealt with the brunt of that. So I think they're going to spam Chase again, whether he's healthy or not, to be quite honest. Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Chase, if he's right, will be their go-to no matter what. But I do think, you know, if he's not 100%, I'd expect DeVito to keep the ball a little bit more. They really don't trust any of their other backs besides Chase Brown in any meaningful way. So even Reggie Love, who has been getting spot carries here and there for Chase Brown, hasn't really shown enough to be reliable. So I think if Chase isn't 100%, you might see DeVito in some design run packages to kind of maybe get outside or just to give a different look, because I don't think that they trust Reggie Love a whole lot. And also throwing in these conditions is going to be tough. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, if Chase isn't, you know, feeling right, it puts Illinois at an even worse advantage. But you know, I do think that the offense the last couple of weeks, as Alex mentioned, we've basically been running just you know, a halfback kind of counter to the right side of the offensive line literally every time. felt like every play the last couple of weeks has been the same thing. And Purdue, a bad defense. Michigan State, you know, an okay defense, whatever. They figured it out. Purdue held Chase Brown to under 100 yards. And it seems like defenses have adjusted to what Barry Lunny's been doing. Pulling and I that think card
to, and to the right. To like what Michigan loves to do is when they know that a team like can't throw on them very well or can't do really just can't if they can't do like one specific thing, whether it's run or throw, then they'll just like send the house. And they'll pour it on. And that's what Jesse Minter has done all year. Like I don't know. I really don't know how things are going to go on Saturday. I think there are some worries about trap game. It helps that it's at home and Michigan doesn't lose at home very often. But I think that, like, you know, how I see this game going is, let's say Illinois can't get things going very well early on, then Michigan's just going to send the house all day long until that's what Michigan's defense does best, is when they can get a quarterback on its heels, then they just don't let up. And that's been the MO all year long. And honestly, I think I speak for all Michigan fans when we say that's exactly what we did to CJ Stroud last year and want to do the exact same thing again next week too.
Bro, yeah, all this football talk is getting me kind of – it's putting me in some pain, you know. So I think it's a good time to hop to our score predictions. Man, just because literally last week we had our fifth string cornerback in because our second, third, and fourth guy got hurt. And then he got a pick. He finally started to look pretty good. And he got a concussion, like two plays after the interception. So it's been that kind of, you know, month of November for us. So score predictions, I guess I'll go first, then Zach. I think this is going to be a Michigan domination fest. I very doubt that this would be a trap game for Michigan. Michigan has looked elite. Illinois, you know, I need to say that I'm very proud of them, and I'm happy that we clinched our first winning season since 2011. But at the same time, Michigan's another class. The only thing that gives me hope is that last year I came, you know, into the Penn State game thinking that we were going to get absolutely, you know, pounded on, and we hung in there, you know, kept it interesting, obviously with 9 overtimes, and then somehow pulled it off. So do I think that will happen? And this was in Happy Valley too. So do I think that will happen? No, but, you know, I didn't think that would happen last year as well. So, you know, if that would happen, that would be fun, because I think Michigan fans would be in an absolute, you know, they would be very, very upset.
There would be. It would be mass hysteria.
If it was close by like the third quarter, I think Michigan fans would absolutely freak out.
Absolute meltdown city. Dude, we're 10-0 right now, and it's been meltdown city even when we're winning 38-3 or whatever.
Even before like Ohio State, you know, got beat last year, people were saying like, oh, Harbaugh's like a failure. I was like, bro, he's been great. Like,
here's the thing about Harbaugh too. I think you guys can attest to this. There's like 95% of college football that would kill to have Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would kill just to have like your defensive coordinator, like, or something, honestly. Yeah. So
that's why we're the worst fan base in the world. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, and then Michigan fans, you know, we'll get to the basketball side of things, but you guys have the passion. I'll tell you that. But I think it's going to be, I'm going to go Michigan 38, Illinois 3.
Oh, wow. Big one. I don't know that.
I'm pretty optimistic, you know.
I'm not sure that the conditions are going to allow for 41 total points to be scored on Saturday. But I, if Illinois had looked better against Purdue, I might be feeling a little bit better about this one. You know, Brett Bielema in the past, just in his short time at Illinois, has shown, you know, once his team loses, the next week they figure it out, they come back better, and they make adjustments, but it seemed to spiral last week, and I'm worried a little bit that this team might just spiral the rest of the way, and I hope that's not the case, and I hope they come out with some fight on Saturday, but the vibes are real bad at the moment, so I don't feel great. I don't know if I'm going to go 38-3, but, you know, 24-6, something like that, wouldn't be too surprising to me. And I hope, you know, that I'm wrong, that Illinois, you know, hangs in there for a bit, but
in an alternate world, you know, the team is fired up after, you know, Bielema unfortunately lost his mom, plays really hard, and then beats Michigan maybe like 21-20 or something like that. That would be cool, but that's more wishful thinking.
For sure.
All right. Is Chase Brown playing or no?
Cool. I think he is. I think midway through the week, they said, you know, he's making steps in the right direction. Bielema has been great at kind of shielding things. When Tommy DeVito had his injury, You know, he left with a pretty bad ankle injury. It was hidden all week. And then Saturday morning, right before the game, it's like, hey, Tommy DeVito's starting. And we potted basically acting like Art Sikowski was going to be the starting QB. And God, if that had to happen, oh my God.
Yeah. Yep. Score predictions
goes under. What if Twitter shuts down while we're on here live?
That'll be hilarious.
That would be a possibility.
That'll be hilarious.
But Ant, you got a score prediction?
Oh, it's gonna be stupid, like 27-10. It's super boring. Nobody cares. And then they'll complain about JJ and.
It's all I mean, hey, we would gladly take Cade McNamara next year if possible, honestly. There'd be a statue for the guy.
95% of the country would take Jim Harbaugh, 90% would take Cade McNamara as their quarterback. Like, it's crazy.
Also, I heard some things about AJ Henning. How's he doing?
What do you mean?
Someone was telling me that, you know, AJ Henning, you know, might not be. You know, he's not getting used too much. There were some rumblings about that. Did you guys ever hear anything about it?
I mean, he definitely has not been in wide receiver rotation as much as he would like to be. He was definitely more in the rotation last year before Ronnie was back. I mean, he still catches punts and kicks and stuff like that. So I wouldn't doubt it if he's, like, frustrated. But that's – I mean, what you signed up for, we've got a very deep wide receiver room, and everybody's been battling for balls all year long. So,
well, he's certainly welcome at Illinois. I'll say that. You guys got a score prediction at all?
Yeah, I'll go for it. I think it's going to be I agree with Ant. It's going to be even more boring than the Nebraska game, which is hard to do. I could see like a 24-3 game or a 24-7, something like that. We'll just hold the ball forever. We're just going to, I mean, it's 10, 11-minute drives, something stupid like that. And it'll be just 3 yards a pop.
Well, I would not be too shocked either. That was pretty close to my score prediction. I think mine was 24-6. I already forget what I said, but. But yeah, I think this would be a good transition time to move into a big basketball weekend for Illinois, at least. You know,
it, by the way, appreciate you guys.
Oh, dude, yeah, thanks for
taking care, man. Yeah,
appreciate you. But obviously, Illinois football is playing a very good team this weekend. Illinois basketball is playing a few very good teams this weekend after playing some, you know, cupcake non-con opponents. I think. Alex and I would agree that, you know, while it's great to win by 40, you don't really know much about your team playing all these schools who, you know, don't really matter. So we're going to learn a lot about this crew that we still know very little about, I think, which is a lot of fun. We haven't really had that kind of position the last couple of years. You know, last couple of years, a lot of known commodities, and this year still trying to figure it out. So I'm very excited. Alex, how are you feeling about the weekend?
I'm nervous as always. I think anytime that you face legitimate competition, you know, especially after facing the cupcakes that we have, it's a little bit worrisome. And not just, you know, with the competition that we're about to face, they're legitimate teams. You know, all have national championship hopes. So, you know, UCLA. Then you talk about Baylor, Virginia. You know, all three are very big name schools. So. Wanted to bring on Ant just because, you know, I consider Ant to be, you know, quite the expert in the basketball world on things. What have you kind of seen from Illinois based off of what you've seen, you know, obviously against lesser competition? And it's hard to say, but how do you think they'll fare against some very, very stiff competition this coming weekend?
You said that they play UCLA and then maybe Virginia?
It's either Virginia or Baylor.
Oh man, those are three very good defensive teams. That's kind of what pops out first. UCLA with Mick Cronin, he is a defensive savant. That's kind of where he prides himself on that end. On top of that, you have they don't really go out and try to get after you. They play more of like a gap pack line type defense where like they want to contest shots, contest threes, but they don't want you to get to the paint. And then they do a very good job at boxing out. So far this year, UCLA has also done a really good job guarding the three. If you look at the teams that they've played this year, teams have not shot very, very well against them. They match up well too with Illinois. They're not big heavy. They're very guard and wing heavy, and that's where they rely on a lot. They do have a freshman in Adam Bona, I think his name is, but you know, he's a young dude. But what you're looking at is this is a really good test, especially for a team that is very wing dependent. You have RJ and you got Meyer and you got Shannon and like you have guys like Coleman who plays like that tweener role. This is going to be big for Danger to kind of come in the game and kind of put his stamp on. What is he averaging this year? Like 17 and 10, pretty much?
Yeah, so I know for the first two games, it was something like 18 and 12 and a half. I think now it's like 17 and 10. He's shooting like 82% from the field, three blocks a game too. Obviously, only three-game sample, but he's been great.
Yeah, so like, you know, like he's done a really nice job. And, you know, if you're looking at a team like, I don't know, man, you're looking at a team like Virginia, who does a good job guarding the three there, you know, seventh in defensive efficiency guarding the 3-point line. And then you're looking at UCLA being 21st. They're right there. And they all have talent. They're very, very talented teams. UCLA is not going to be afraid of Illinois either. But here's the thing, Terrence Shannon. I'm going to see if he's still Texas Tech Terrence Shannon or if he is a new Terrence Shannon, where he's not just relying on the 3-point shot and relying on the transition buckets, like. Can you go out there and can you create against a defense who is going to limit him? Who are going to go after the one or two things that he really likes to do? They're going to take that away or attempt to. Is he going to be able to counter? Is he going to be able to still operate? Is he going to still be able to be? Is he going to be able to be an impact on offense? Does he still need to be accounted for on offense? Because him being accounted for allows guys like RJ and Sky and Jaden, Sincere and Meyer to have space to work, you know? So we'll see if he's going to be able to create a bit more and be more than just be more than just a spot-up shooter or like a one dribble to the rack guy.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest matches that I'm looking forward to is Terrence Shannon versus our boy Jaquise. Jaquise. Hawkins. Jaquise, yeah.
Jaquise.
He is, I mean, one of the better wing defenders in the country. And then on top of that, you got, you know, Amari Bailey, who I know, young guy, but plus defender for sure. And then Jalen Clark, who's been, you know, a breakout guy for them. You know, very similar in terms of being that long wing, athletic guy. So I think it's a big test. I feel like UCLA is kind of built how I wish Illinois was. You know, they got some talented freshmen in Amari Bailey, Bona, you know, very talented as well, but then also has the mix of the old guys, you know, Tiger Campbell, Jaquise, you know, those guys played on the Final Four team. So just having that experience, I think, is just huge for them. And
I mean, you kind of got the same. Because you have Meyer
but he hasn't looked the same. I know he did. I think he's still struggling with the back. He's just looked like a step slow. You know, I think he looks tired, even like after his like 15 minutes. And just he doesn't look comfortable. Even dating back to the exhibition when we were talking. So I'm hoping, you know, kind of the bright lights wake him up, but he's been kind of underwhelming. But at the same time too, we were talking the same thing about Alphonso Plummer last year. You know, he started off very slow. I think he was like 2 for 15 to start off the season, and then, you know, he came alive. So I'm hoping that kind of trend is the same thing. But, you know, it's interesting. UCLA will be quite the matchup, marquee matchup. And then whether you get Baylor or Virginia, that's another likely experienced team. I'm not too sure how experienced Baylor is. I know they, you know, obviously lost Matt Meyer, lost Kendall Brown. So whoever comes out of that second matchup, it'll be definitely interesting too.
What is Luke Goody's status?
So he had a foot fracture. He's out 3 months for sure.
Oh, geez. So he's out.
So they're saying end of January, but I doubt that. I mean, a foot's pretty significant.
He might as well redshirt.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And I think, you know, we're really going to miss the guy because arguably our best shooter, you know, obviously one of the only returners from last year's team.
Yeah.
So that's a big loss, quite honestly.
I think if he redshirts, I think that would make sense. Because if he comes back, you know, who doesn't play? You know?
Probably, yeah, Sincere.
Sincere. And, like, he's been really good. He's been really good off the bench.
He's been surprising. Yeah, you know, he's been competitive. He's had a lot of missed dunks, which has been kind of funny to see. But it's just because he's going so hard, you know. So I appreciate that. The freshmen have looked good, to be quite honest.
I did see the one where he got stuck on the rim, right?
Something like that. I think it was like a wide open dunk. He got like a steal, and then
after like he tried to poster like three dudes, and then it was like, all right, he's in the open floor, and then just whiffed.
And then he just whiffed. Yeah, he like goes after dudes, man. Like he like tries to like punch it. It's one of those things where he like tries to punch it, and then it like goes into the bench instead.
I did hear that he's also a bit older too, which would make sense why why he's able to be a little bit more. Like more game ready, you know, because I heard he's like either 20 or he's about to turn 20 or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't know about that actually. I mean, I know is he went to the same high school as LeBron. but Jaden Epps has looked very good. And Zach were kind of talking about it. He looks great.
Yeah, I like Epps a lot.
Epps. I think when you said Carson Edwards type of energy last year, I think I was kind of assuming he'd be more of like a shot maker, but he's been good with the ball in his hands. You know, he's made good decisions. Has been really good, you know,
being all like good that with second Miles guy off the bench.
Yeah. That kind of, but I like the comp because he's smooth.
Yeah. Just a straight score. Someone who just, all he wants to do is score, and he can score at all three levels. He can get to the – he can create rim pressure, so he's going to create fouls. He's going to get to the free throw line, all those things. So, he's definitely somebody who you can see in the program for, like, 3-4 years. You know, it's really important to get guys like that who you know aren't one and done or two and done. Because those are going to be guys who are going to continue and, like, keep this culture, right? Because I think culture is so underrated when it comes to college basketball. It's like, you have to have guys. You can't just listen to the coach all the time. When you're new to the program and you see someone who's your teammate who was in the nitty-gritty, who was competing for the Big Ten championship, who was able to, you know, do several things like they've been able to see Illinois in a very good spot, and then they see the top three or four guys who took Illinois there, then that's going to be huge for those guys being able to buy in a lot faster than if they were not there, because now it feels like that's a team from the past, not a team from now.
No, that's great stuff, and I love what you said about Epps being a three-level scorer. Because, like, honestly, like, we saw Adam Miller come in, you know, a bucket getter, and then he just took corner threes all year. And obviously, you know, with Io and Kofi on the team, that kind of had to be that situation. So I was just assuming, you know, Epps, bucket getter, he'll probably shoot a lot of threes. But his finishing at the rim, man, is smooth. Just his ability to finish kind of around contact and to kind of shift his body to get it up and in. Like, it's I've been really, really impressed by him. And then obviously Coleman Hawkins had the game of his life the first game of the year. He hit like six threes in the first half or something crazy like that. And then hasn't really been that guy since then. I think we're like, oh, wow, Coleman's here. And it hasn't really been that the next couple games. So, and just wondering, like, what do you think for Coleman this year? Like, what's kind of best case scenario, especially with this big weekend here where he's kind of the face of the program at the moment, just because he's one of the only returners, and they kind of need him to play a big part.
Well, first, like, his job is not to score. Like, that's the thing. His job is not to score. His job is not to, like, his job is just to impact the game in any way he sees fit. And that could be, you know, his energy in the full court and three quarter court and half court trap game. That could be just getting 15 rebounds if the team needs it and being a creator for the team. And even if you don't get the assist, you're going to get a hockey assist because your pass got the next guy open. And it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be like tap dunks. You're going to dunk on someone's head. Hey, if you're open, shoot and make the shot. So his impact, in my opinion, is very similar to like a Ty Rogers, where like you expect them to impact the game in multiple ways and not just be like, you know, you have one or two duties. I think they have those guys have a very long checklist of things that they need to do during a basketball game.
And then kind of going off of that, I was actually going to ask you about Ty Rogers. You know, before the season, we had this talk about how he, you know, affects the game in so many ways outside of scoring. What have you kind of seen from him these past three games? It seems like when he's on the floor, you know, the energy level just kind of picks up, you know, whether it's his hustle. I think he had a sequence where, you know, he dived for an offensive rebound, got on the floor, and then got right back up and then slammed it home. You know, is that kind of what you see for him this year?
Yeah, so, like, he has a shot to be one of the better defenders in the league, in my opinion. And then, on top of that, he always has a high motor. He always brings energy. He's not someone who you need to play harder. He's just someone who, if anything, you got to, like, calm him down just a little bit. But he's always going to have that consistent energy every minute he's on the floor. My only concern with him is his free throws. I don't understand what's happening. Like, they don't look good.
Yeah, I sent you the video.
At any point.
That looks weird.
At any point, does it look like the ball is going to go in the basket? So he works on his game way too much. He has way too many basketball people around him, and it's not even a mental thing. It looks
like a line drive.
Yeah, it's a form, and it is everything just feels off. Like when as soon as he winds up to take his shot, I never think it's going in. I never think it's going in because it's not smooth. It's just, I don't know. It's just way off, and it doesn't make sense for the type of player he is for the shot to look like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think free throws in general, it doesn't, at least in the first three games, hasn't really felt like anybody outside of Terrence Shannon can like make one. And so I think at some point that'll be a bigger issue. I can't remember. I think in the first game they were like something crazy, like, outside of Terrence Shannon, they were like 4 of 16 from the free throw line or something wild. Mm.
I don't get how that happens.
It's a lot of guards too. Like,
yeah, like Kofi's gone. Like, we realized that. Yeah. So, and what about you know, kind of last thing, I know you gotta catch the Arizona State Michigan game, but what about a team like Baylor and Virginia matching up against Illinois?
I mean, those are two defense first teams, and I do think Baylor adds a lot more pop from a talent standpoint. They have much better creators. They have some guys who were hurt last year who are back and good this year. Virginia is going to have a lot of experience. They have a lot of experienced guys. They have some dudes who can really, really play, and that's going to be an interesting game too. So whether you know Illinois wins or loses, they have their hands full in that next game.
Absolutely, and man, appreciate the time as always. Obviously, you know, we're not Michigan fans around here, so not wishing them a win, but for you personally, I guess I kind of hope they do. But yeah, man, thanks as always for giving your time and for a great insight.
Hey, anytime, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks, bro.
You. Alex, we kind of talked off air a little bit about it, but I would love, you know, from a Illini fan perspective, we talked a little bit about it with Ant, but just like some of your takeaways real quick on the Illinois basketball season so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gone how we would expect it to go, you know, given the teams that we played. I think it's been interesting to see a totally different style. You know, those boys got up and they run. Yeah. And it's totally different than, all right, let's bring it up the court. You know, we're going to run a little bit of motion and do a high-low to Kofi. Or we're going to get Io going to his right hand downhill. And try to do a lob with Io and Kofi, et cetera. So it's been cool to see. I just am a little bit worried about facing legitimate competition as always. I think anytime is the first time, especially given that this is such a young team, you're going to ask, you know, Sky Clark, Jaden Epps, Ty Rogers to all sort of replicate what they've been doing against not just like, oh, we're playing Syracuse or we're playing you know, Nebraska or some, you know, low level, high major competition, but you're playing the best of like top 10 teams, all three of them. So it's always a little bit scary, but I do think it's a good measuring stick. And I do think that, you know, they're going to be better once conference season comes. I believe in Brad. You know, it's tough for me to say that about an Illinois coach. So I think it's overall, it's gone how I've expected it, but excited to see how they match up.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what's kind of nice about these days in college basketball, like if they lose, like it doesn't super matter to like their tournament resume because, you know, they're good losses. So in some ways, it only helps you to play these games. You know, if you win, obviously it's great. If you lose, it doesn't kill you. And like playing all these cupcakes would if you lost one of those. So, I'm excited to see what they look like. I agree. It's been fun to see a different style of play. I do worry a little bit about shot making in general and just worried a little bit about how that's going to go early in the season. I think they'll figure it out. But it's, in my opinion, not a super deep shooting team. And so how do you kind of create offense, especially against incredible defenses like they're going to play you know, this weekend, UCLA, Virginia, et cetera, that will be hard to break down, even if they had, you know, a high-powered offense. But, you know, I think there is some concern there. We mentioned free throws a little bit already. But when shots aren't falling, I'm interested to see kind of what happens. And honestly, how this kind of new-look defense holds up against good competition too, because you can pick on those bad teams playing that pressure like that because they don't make great decisions.
Yeah.
You're playing – Tiger King and full court. Agreed. You know, how's that going to go?
And I think one of the good things that's been good to see, at least through the first three games, again, against lesser competition, but we haven't seen that lull that we did last year where, I don't know if you remember, we would have like 10-minute stretches of just like 2 points or, you know, they just look half asleep. Like
1-for-16 to start the second game.
Yeah, and like, you know, just, I mean, besides that, I think that was a little bit different with the ring ceremony and things like that, but... No. You know, that lull where it's just like, these guys need to play harder. And I think that was going on even until, you know, even the Big Ten tournament where they had that lull where it was like, yo, guys, like, play harder. I think all these guys play hard. Terrence Shannon in particular, excuse me. And then, you know, the freshmen all play very hard. So I'm excited, man. I think I'm looking more forward to this than opposed to Saturday morning for sure. But
yeah,
that's kind of outside the point.
Yeah, and it's kind of normal for us, I guess. So
I think so. Everything's back to normal.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And just kind of wrapping up here, just a prediction on the record you think Illinois will come out with this weekend.
I think they will. I hate to say it, man, but I don't think they will win a game.
Yeah,
I think they won't beat UCLA. That's for sure. I think they can possibly pick off Baylor. I think they can, just because I think they'll come with a little juice. You got two transfers from that school,
yeah.
And Terrence Shannon obviously has played these guys before. I think you can pick them off. They're also a bit of a young team. Keontae George, five-star freshman, kind of the leader of that group. So I think you can pick off one team, but I don't think you're going to beat UCLA. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, and honestly, like,
but that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, you can say that, and you know, it's all right. Good, hard non-conference schedules, I think, are actually good for a team these days. And excited to see how they come out, and if they lose, you know, it's all right. Learn from it, and plenty of opportunities. Regardless of how this weekend goes, I still think, you know, I'm not really buying the Indiana hype, so I still think Illinois has a phenomenal shot to win the Big Ten this year. And all of that is still true regardless of how this weekend goes. So just some perspective on this Thursday evening.
Yeah, man. Never buy Indiana hype.
I hate the Hoosiers. Could probably use some perspective on football, but that's we'll talk about that later. I'll have perspective in, like, July of next year. Right now it just sucks. But anyway. Thank you all for listening to the Armchair Illini podcast. Thanks to Blue by 90 and to Ant Wright for hopping on to talk Michigan and Illinois basketball, college hoops, all that sort of stuff. Hope it's a great weekend for Illinois sports. It's a busy one with a lot of hard, tough competition. And we'll see how it plays out. But thanks for listening tonight and have a great rest of your evening.
The Armchair Illini podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.